We shall read one verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 9, Chapter 10, The Pastimes of Lord Ramachandra, Text 20. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Please repeat. Te Anikapa
Anikapa
Raghupate
Raghupate
Abhipatya
Abhipatya
Sarve
Sarve
Dvandvam
Dvandvam
Varutam
Varutam
Ibha
Ibha
Pati
Pati
Rata
Rata
Ashva
Ashva
Yodhai
Yodhai
Jagnu
Jagnu
Drumai
Drumai
Giri
Giri
Gada
Gada
Ishubi
Ishubi
Angada
Angada
Adya
Adya
Sita
Sita
Abhimarsha
Abhimarsha
Hata
Hata
Mangala
Mangala
Ravana
Ravana
Ishan
Ishan
Teni Teni Kapara Gupater Abhipatya Sarve
Teni
Dvandvam Varutam Iba Pati Ratasva Yodhai
Dvandvam Varutam Iba Pati Ratasva Yodhai
Jagnur Jumair Giri Gade Shubir Angadadya
Jagnur Jumair Giri Gade Shubir Angadadya
Sita Bhimarshata Mangala Ravaneshan
Sita Bhimarshata Mangala Ravaneshan
Teni Kapara Gupater Abhipatya Sarve
Teni Kapara Gupater Abhipatya Sarve
Dvandvam Varutam Iba Pati Ratasva Yodhai
Dvandvam Varutam Iba Pati Ratasva Yodhai
Jagnur Jumair Giri Gade Shubir Angadadya
Jagnur Jumair Giri Gade Shubir Angadadya
Sita Bhimarshahata Mangala Ravaneshan
Sita Bhimarshahata Mangala Ravaneshan
Teni Kapa Prabhupatir Abhipata Sarve
Teni Kapata Raghupati Sarve
Mangam Varutam Ibapati Ratashva Yodhai
Mangam Varutam Ibapati Ratashva Yodhai
Jagnu Drumar Giri Gadeshubir Angadhaya
Jagnu Dumaya Giri Ganesh Shri Angadadya
Sita Vimashati Mangalara Vadesha
Sita Vimashati Mangalara Vadesha
Tehi Kataram Patir Abhipatya Sarve
Tehi Kataram Patir Abhipatya Sarve
Vanvam Bharutam Ibapati Ratasa Yodai
Vanvam Bharutam Ibapati Ratasa Yodai
Jagur Drumai Virigadeshu Virham Gadaya Sita Vimarsha Hata Mangala Ravanesha
Sita Vimarsha Hata Mangala Ravanesha
Ladies
Devi Kapai Kate Abhipatya Sarve
Devi Kapai Kate Abhipatya Sarve
Vandam Varuta Vipati Ratasya Jatvai
Vandam Varuta Vipati Ratasya Jatvai
Chakku Vimai Giri Kadeshu Vipanka Dhatya
Chakku Sumai
Vipatiratasayodhai Jagurumai Girigadeshu Virangadadhyā Sita Vimarshahata Mangala Ravaneshan Te
All of them
Anikapa,
Anikapa,
the commanders of the soldiers, Raghupate,
Raghupate,
of Lord Sri Ramachandra, Abhipatya,
chasing the enemy,
Sarve,
Sarve,
all of them.
Dvandvam,
fighting.
Fighting.
Varutam,
Varutam,
the soldiers of Ravana.
Ibha,
by elephants.
Pati,
by infantry.
Ratha,
by chariots,
Ashva,
by horses,
Yodhai,
by such warriors,
Jagnu,
killed them,
Drumai,
by throwing big trees, Giri, by peaks of mountains,
Gada,
by clubs,
Ishubhi,
by arrows,
Angada
Adya, all the soldiers of Lord Ramachandra. Headed by Angada and others.
Sita,
of Mother Sita.
Abhimarsha,
by the anger.
hata
had been condemned.
Mangala,
Mangala,
whose auspiciousness.
Ravana Ishan,
Ravana Ishan,
the followers or dependents of Ravana. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Angada and the other commanders of the soldiers of Ramachandra faced the elephants, infantry, horses, and chariots of the enemy, and hurled against them big trees, mountain peaks, clubs, and arrows. Thus the soldiers of Lord Ramachandra killed Ravana's soldiers, who had lost all good fortune because Ravana had been condemned by the anger of Mother Sita. Please repeat. Angada and the other commanders of the soldiers of Ramachandra faced the elephants, infantry,
horses,
and chariots of the enemy,
and hurled
against them
big trees,
mountain peaks,
clubs,
and arrows.
Thus the soldiers of Lord Ramachandra
killed Ravana's soldiers,
who had lost all good fortune
because Ravana had been condemned
by the anger of Mother Sita.
Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The soldiers Lord Ramachandra recruited in the jungle were all monkeys and did not have proper equipment with which to fight the soldiers of Ravana. For Ravana's soldiers were equipped with weapons of modern warfare, whereas the monkeys could throw only stones, mountain peaks, and trees. It was only Lord Ramachandra and Lakshman who shot some arrows. But because the soldiers of Ravana were condemned by the curse of Mother Sita, the monkeys were able to kill them simply by throwing stones and trees. There are two kinds of strength, Daiva and Purushakara. Daiva refers to the strength achieved from the transcendence, and Purushakara refers to the strength organized by one's own intelligence and power. Transcendental power is always superior to the power of the materialist. Depending on the mercy of the Supreme Lord, one must fight one's enemies, even though one may not be equipped with modern weapons. Therefore, Krishna instructed Arjuna, Mam Anusmara Yudhyacha, think of me and fight. We should fight our enemy to the best of our ability, but for victory, we must depend on the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Translation again. Angada and the other commanders of the soldiers of Ramachandra faced the elephants, infantry, horses, and chariots of the enemy, and hurled against them big trees, mountain peaks, clubs, and arrows. Thus the soldiers of Lord Ramachandra killed Ravana's soldiers, who had lost all good fortune because Ravana had been condemned by the anger of Mother Sita. So, we all are in a position where we have to fight enemies. And we have two kinds of enemies: external enemies and internal enemies. When we preach, we do face external enemies. In fact, Srila Prabhupada said, big preaching means big enemies. But we also have our internal enemies, and we have to contend with them as well. And this verse explains how we can be successful in our struggles. We will begin with the external. Of course, here we may not have such big enemies, but in Juhu, Srila Prabhupada had big enemies. And from the material point of view, they were much more powerful than Srila Prabhupada and his devotees. One evening, Srila Prabhupada was sitting on the terrace of one of the tenement buildings at the back of the property, being fanned by his disciple Haridas. And at about 7 o'clock, Srila Prabhupada looked at his watch and asked Haridas, "Do you hear the sounds of kirtan coming from the temple?" And Haridas listened, but he didn't hear. He said, "No, Srila Prabhupada." And Srila Prabhupada said, "You don't hear the sound of kirtan coming from the temple." And Haridas strained to hear, and again he said, "No." And Srila Prabhupada said, "That is the point. There is no kirtan coming from the temple. Where are all the devotees?" And Haridas replied, "They must be out collecting, preaching, collecting." And Srila Prabhupada replied, "That was not my idea, that the devotees should go out from morning to night and collect." And then he asked Haridas, "Do you know why we were successful and not Nair?" Nair was the landlord of the property, and he was the leader of a group. Srila Prabhupada called them a clique of very powerful enemies. And Srila Prabhupada said Nair had wealth, he had influence, He was the editor of one of three English daily newspapers in Bombay, and he had power. He had been the sheriff of Bombay. And we didn't have money, we didn't have influence, we didn't have friends in high positions like Nair did. But we were successful and he was not. Why? And then Srila Prabhupada himself gave the answer, because we were working to please Krishna and he was working for himself. And by pleasing Krishna and getting Krishna's mercy, we were successful. So he said the devotees should come back and they should chant and dance in front of the deities and give pleasure to the deities. That will make us successful. Not depending on our own resources. So what the verse and purport here say was applied practically by Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada's life was a demonstration of the principles of the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. And by the application of the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, he was successful. So one element of say Lord Ramachandra's army's success was that they were blessed by Lord Ramachandra. And on the other side, Ravana was condemned by the curse of Mother Sita, and thus he lost all good fortune. And there is a similar phenomenon in Juhu, in that Mr. Nair, who is the landlord, was very cruel and you could say offensive to the devotees. Of course, it was a fight, and Srila Prabhupada suspected that there might be difficulty later, and so from the very beginning, he insisted that after paying a certain percentage of the total price, that he would be given possession of the property. And he immediately brought the deities, Radharasa Bihari, from the temple that the devotees had in an apartment in Bombay, and established the deities in Juhu, and the devotees also. So Nair wanted to drive the devotees and the deities, really, off of the property. So he would turn off the electricity, turn off the water. He would do many things to try to make
life so difficult for the devotees that they couldn't stay. And he hired a fellow named Ramu, who was a coconut wala. Coconut wala means there were many palm trees on the property, which Srila Prabhupada considered to be a great asset. And so the coconut wallas, they, I don't know how they do it, but they're just like with their hands and feet on the trunk of the tree, they would climb up, and then he'd have like this big knife and he would cut down the coconuts. So he would position himself near the front road where people would come to the temple, and he would like brandish his machete knife and look very menacing, just to scare people away. So it was a real fight. And of course there are many interesting incidents that took place. But one day Nair came to visit Srila Prabhupada, who was staying at Kartikeya Mahadevya's house. Because of the fight, we didn't have any proper accommodation for Srila Prabhupada on the land at that time. And usually Nair was quite diplomatic. Tamal Krishna Goswami would compare him to Kamsa, like very diplomatic, and like the Bhagavatam describes, people would go to Kamsa to appeal to him to stop his nefarious activities, but Kamsa was so diplomatic, they would all become followers of Kamsa. So even with Prabhupada, Nair was quite, you know, diplomatic. But this one time he came, he just was not in the mood to be diplomatic. So he came into Srila Prabhupada's room at Kartikeya Mahadevya's apartment. And he said, "I want to speak to you alone. I want you to send your disciples out of the room." So Prabhupada sent the disciples out, but we could hear from outside the door. And Nair told Prabhupada, "You know, I want you to leave the property." And Prabhupada said, "You give us our money back and we'll leave." He said, "No, I'm keeping the money and you leave." And Prabhupada said, "No, you give us our money, we'll leave. Otherwise you give us the land." So Nair was becoming extremely agitated, and he was literally shouting at Srila Prabhupada. And he said, "Oh yeah," Prabhupada said, "you know, Krishna's already there. You know, you can't force us to leave like that." And then Nair, in like uncontrolled rage, he said, "Then I will break your Krishna." So that was like, I think that was the beginning of the end for Nair. Anyway, you know, Nair left, and Prabhupada went on with his travels. And one morning, as I was
walking in downtown Bombay, I saw a newspaper on the sidewalk. The vendors would sit on the sidewalk with their newspapers and magazines and things. And there's a picture of Nair on the front page of the Free Press Journal with the headline in big bold letters, A.B. Nair dead. So I was really jubilant. I was really jubilant, and literally I just felt like dancing, jumping for joy. But then I thought, is this proper? You know, we're supposed to be saintly persons, or trying to be saintly persons. Is this proper? So at that time, there was a devotee visiting Bombay named Bali Mardan, who was more senior to me and had more interaction with Srila Prabhupada. So he phoned Srila Prabhupada, who was in Auckland, New Zealand, and Prabhupada's servant, Shruti Kirti Prabhu, took the call, and that was all we knew, that Shruti Kirti was going to deliver the message. But then a few days later, we got a letter addressed to me and some of the other senior devotees and supporters, saying that, you know, I received a telephonic message that that the demon Nair is dead. And if this is true, it is an occasion of great jubilation. And even Prahlad Maharaj said that saintly persons are pleased when a snake or a scorpion is killed. So, on the one hand, yeah. So then later, yes, later we found out what happened when Shruti Kirti Prabhu delivered the message to Srila Prabhupada. And Srila Prabhupada folded his hands and said, "Thank you, Krishna." And then and he said, I was praying for this. And he said, Nair was too offensive. He was causing too much difficulty to the devotees, and he was too offensive to the deity. So I prayed for this. So this is like Sita Abhimarsha, that he was cursed. I mean, he was condemned because of his offenses to the deities and the devotees. And so the combination of Srila Prabhupada working to please Krishna, you know, acting to please Krishna, and thus getting the mercy of Krishna to be successful, on the one hand, and on the other hand, Nair's being offensive to the deities and to the devotees, he lost all good fortune. And in Srila Prabhupada's letter, he said, it is very good news that Lord Nisringadeva has killed this demon. So, to be successful, we need two things. We need to act in a positive way for the pleasure of Guru and Krishna and Vaishnavas,
by chanting and dancing and just in general doing things that please them. And on the other hand, avoid committing offenses against the Lord or the devotees. And if we are careful in those two regards, then we will be successful in defeating our enemies. Now, we also have internal enemies, and it is mentioned in particular that Ravana is the personification of lust. As it is, he was in Lanka, he had his chaste and faithful and qualified wife. But by hearing about the beauty of Sita, he became overwhelmed with lust and decided that he was going to have her for himself, even though she was already married to Lord Ramachandra. So Ravana is considered the personification of lusty desires. And of course, those lusty desires, or his acting on those lusty desires, was the cause of his downfall. So we also have our internal enemies: kama, lust, krodh, anger, lobha, greed, mud, it's like madness, matsarya, envy. Mud is pride, envy, and madness. And those enemies have to be defeated. And the method by which we defeat the internal enemies is the same. And that is that we cannot be successful by our own endeavors alone. We have to make our efforts. As Srila Prabhupada says at the conclusion of the purport, therefore Krishna instructed Arjuna, "Mam anusmara yudhyacha," think of me and fight. We have to do both, think of Krishna and fight. We can't just sit down and think of Krishna and hope that he'll do everything for us. We have to fight. But we also shouldn't think that by our material intelligence or resources or power we can be successful. We have to also pray for Krishna's mercy. And therefore Krishna instructed Arjuna, "Mam anusmara yudhyacha," think of me and fight. We should fight our enemy to the best of our ability, but for victory we must depend on the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, fight to the best of our ability means to follow the regulative principles of bhakti yoga. In fact, in the Upadeshamrita, Srila Rupa Goswami also tells us how to be successful. Utsaha nischayat daryat tat tat karma pravartanat. Sadhu sangha sato vritti
sadbhi bhakti prasiddhyati, that one can be successful in devotional service by one utsaha, enthusiasm, dharyat, or nischayat, it means confidence of success in the end. Dharyat, patience, tat-tat karma pravartana, that means following the rules and regulations of bhakti yoga, means following the process of bhakti yoga. And satovritte, following the previous acharyas, sangatyagat, being avoiding intimate association with non-devotees. So now particularly when we're depending on the Lord's mercy, which we are, so that one element, utsaha, that's like fight. And dharyat, patience, is like awaiting the mercy of the Lord, depending on the mercy of the Lord. But the Lord's mercy may not come immediately, and so we have to be patient and persevere. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur has written a 12 essays which have been collected under the title Bhakti Loka on the six items that assure our success in devotional service and the six items that spoil our devotional service. So one of those items, as I mentioned, for success is dharyat, patience. And Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that sometimes sadhakas become discouraged after a prolonged sadhana without results. He says that because there's actually different types of sadhanas for different purposes. So he says that karmis desire the result of sense gratification, and gyanis desire the result of impersonal liberation. But devotees, they also desire a result. But what is the result that they desire? The result that they desire is Krishna's pleasure. So just like karmis do their work to get sense gratification, and gyanis do their practices to get impersonal liberation, devotees perform their sadhana to achieve Krishna's pleasure. But achieving Krishna's pleasure may not be that easy. I mean, to achieve Krishna's pleasure to the point where we can feel Krishna's reciprocation, and that we know that Krishna is pleased and his pleasure is manifest to us within our hearts. So Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that after prolonged sadhana, a devotee may feel discouraged because he has not achieved his goal. Just like we hear it. Devotees, oh, I've been chanting for so many years and I still, you know, I've been serving for so many years and I still... So Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that the quality of dharya, patience, is very necessary. And the devotee should think that Krishna will be merciful to me, maybe today or tomorrow, or in 10 years, or in 50 years, or in some future lifetime. But he will be merciful to me. And I will not give up my service to Krishna for anything. But I will patiently perform my duties in devotional service and wait for that fortunate moment when I will get Krishna's mercy. So that dharyat, patience, is required, because we cannot be successful without Krishna's mercy. And it is not within our control when Krishna will be merciful. And so until then, we have to be patient. And in Srila Prabhupada's commentary on the Upadeshamrita and the Nectar of Instruction, he speaks about dharyat, patience, that when he first began the Krishna consciousness movement, there was no response. But because he was patient and persevered, eventually people started to take interest, and the mission became successful. So we have to be patient, but at the same time we also have to be enthusiastic. Srila Prabhupada said that patience without enthusiasm can lead to lethargy. Like, I'm patient. I have all the time in the world. And you just sort of sit around and wait for Krishna's mercy. And then he said that enthusiasm without patience can lead to a desire to control. Like, I'm really enthusiastic, I want to introduce this program, I want to push this program through, and why aren't they listening to me? Why aren't they doing what I say? Why are they so stupid, so conservative, and so we need both enthusiasm and patience, because patience without enthusiasm can lead to lethargy, and enthusiasm without patience can lead to a desire to control. And then utsaha nischaya darya, and confidence of success. Of course, this means success in pleasing Krishna. Confidence of success. And Srila Prabhupada writes in the Nectar of Instruction that devotional service is so pure and powerful that once having begun, one will be forcibly dragged to success. So we should have that confidence, and that will assure our success in bhakti yoga. So, Hare Krishna. In just coming to sadhana, of course, the main processes our hearing and chanting. In fact, in the Nectar of Instruction, in the word-for-word meanings for Tat-Tat Karma Pravartana, Srila Prabhupada adds, the basic definition is following the regulative principles, and then in parentheses he adds, no shravanam kirtanam vishnu smaranam. So those are our main activities. And so we should be very enthusiastic to perform those activities. But know that we cannot be completely successful without Krishna's mercy and patiently await his mercy. And the hearing of Srimad Bhagavatam and the chanting of the holy names go together. In fact, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself propagated his mission on the basis of chanting the holy names and speaking the philosophy of Srimad Bhagavatam. Because chanting the holy name, Nama Chintamani Krishna, the holy name is Krishna. But we are trying to develop our relationship with Krishna. So who is Krishna and how we can develop our relationship with him is given in Srimad Bhagavatam. Without hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, we won't know who is Krishna and what is our relationship with him and what is life with Krishna in the spiritual world and what different types of service can we offer to Krishna. Srila Prabhupada says that the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is like a prayer, oh Radharani, O Krishna, please engage me in your service. So to get a sense of what service to Krishna is, we need to know Srimad Bhagavatam. So these two elements go together. And Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur has said that just as Krishna is always accompanied by his Swarup Shakti, his personal energy, which is Srimati Radharani, similarly, Hari Nam should always be accompanied by Hari Katha. Otherwise, Harinam without Harikatha is not properly or perfectly performed. So we require both of these practices. And those are our, our core practices. And then remembering Krishna will follow Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu Smaranam. So whenever we can, we should always be engaged in chanting or hearing. In one lecture Srila Prabhupada gave in Los Angeles, he said, if you've got time, chant Hare Krishna. Don't waste time. Hare Krishna. So, are there any questions or comments? Yes. Hemangi.
I can understand that the patient and working it out on your own goes together, that you cannot simply sit and patiently and wait. You also have to do your own endeavor. How do we explain this to a child? Yesterday afternoon, I was working with my daughter on her homework, and I was getting frustrated explaining her something, that why she's not getting it. And then I asked her, I have asked you many times, that pray to Radha and Krishna. Then she said, while I pray, I still have to do what I have to do. I have to still do my homework, I still have to finish my pages, that's the number of pages that she gets from her that she works on every day. And I tried to give her the philosophy. And she glared at me and she was staring at me. She did not say anything bad, but I could understand that she was saying that, do you really expect me to understand what you just said? I couldn't make her understand that you still have to work and still pray for Radha and Krishna's mercy.
So you're saying that she didn't want to do her homework.
She's like, if any day I have to do
sorry?
She said, if any day I have to do my homework, then what's the point of praying?
Well, I think it's a common phenomenon that children don't like to do their homework. The difference between your daughter and other children is that she has a little philosophy that she uses to support the basic fact that she doesn't want to do her homework, which is very common among children. But still, because she did make that philosophical point, we have to respond to it. And one of the best examples is the Damodar Lila. That Mother Yashoda wanted to bind Krishna with ropes, but the ropes were always too short. You know, no matter how much length she added to the rope, it was still too short by 2 inches or 2 fingers. And her friends were saying, you know, you're not going to be able to bind him. You know, you should give up, because it's obvious you're not going to be able to bind him. But she still continued with her endeavor. And the Bhagavatam describes that that, you know, when Krishna saw her tireless efforts, he felt compassionate towards her and allowed her to bind him, although he cannot be bound. And so the verse contains 2 words in Sanskrit. One is parishram, which means hard labor or endeavor, and the other is Krishna Kripa, Krishna's mercy. And so by that combination of hard labor or endeavor and Krishna's mercy, Krishna can be bound. So that's a good question. What's the use of praying? That is a good question. What's the use of praying? But the use is that that's 50% Krishna's mercy. But the other 50% is our endeavor. Like
Mam anusmaram yudhicha. Think of me and fight. We have to do both. Yes, Rasaraj Prabhu.
Thank you, Lord, for this wonderful heart. You mentioned several points. One of this, you mentioned acting on lusty desires. Ravana was a personification of lust, but then he's acting on that platform caused this fall down. This might be a little bit long as far as the question is concerned. That you also then connected that to the fact that we have to surrender to Krishna, and the process of surrender requires patience and enthusiasm. At least in my personal practices, I've seen that I tend to get very frustrated at some point of time. And of course, that is a manifestation of not having patience. The usual mode that I get myself into when I don't have that patience is to assume that the platform that I'm on, the level of service that I'm doing, the level of sadhana that I'm doing, is the best I can do. I can't do more than this. So there is no desire on my side to be more enthusiastic, because just I get frustrated. So there's no reciprocation. For example, the worship, there's, if you try and pray to Krishna at some point of time, you just don't have any taste to serve the deities. Personally, the service to the deities, so basically I get myself, this is, I'll do it, but internally I have no enthusiasm to do that service. So not having patience is killing my enthusiasm also. And that happens in several instances. So the only way that I can see myself getting out of this situation is to really get the association of the devotees who have that enthusiasm. The concern is that association is also not being available, because there is no forum, there is no place, there is no, that we come together but we really don't associate. It's two different things. And so, kind of getting myself into a very difficult corner, trying to figure out, well, really, Krishna's not going to come and say, I'm pleased with your endeavor. It's the desire to serve, the desire to constantly continue doing my service. But that frustration is killing my enthusiasm, because I don't have patience. So it's a downward spiral. I really don't know how to interact
and
how to actually counteract that. Don't know whether I made the question. Yes.
So what exactly is the question?
How am I, this, the enthusiasm is still by lack of patience.
Mm-hmm.
And how do I get out of the cycle? How do I get out of the cycle? I can't get myself to have more patience. It's just my nature and the mode of passion that is preventing me from having patience. But then that's killing my enthusiasm, which is getting me to the mode of ignorance, which is even worse. What do I do?
Well, there are quite a few points in your
preface to your question. One point is about taste for a particular service. And one point in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita is that spiritual activity in which the devotee has taste is the best for him. In other words, you know, these nine processes, one can achieve perfection by performing one or two or three or all nine. But if you do even one of them perfectly, even if you don't do the other eight perfectly, you can attain perfection. So, I mean, of course we should appreciate the deities, but it's not necessary that every devotee has to have a taste for every type of activity. And so it may be better to focus on the activities where you do have more taste. But the other thing that you said is also true, that to develop taste, it's very helpful to associate with other devotees who do have taste. But it doesn't have to be in that particular activity, but some activities are common and essential for all of us, like chanting and hearing. And so we do want to develop taste, and that can come by association. I mean, that the association helps. And I would say that reading about patience could help. I mean, we all have different weaknesses, or at different times we may perceive a different weakness within us. And so we'll want to focus on that particular weakness. So say my weakness is lack of patience, so then I can focus on that. And then so we can read Upadeshamrita, what Srila Prabhupada says about patience, and that the book Bhakti Loka. I mean, there's a whole essay on patience. I basically just paraphrased the last paragraph of the whole essay, so that you could read that, and His Holiness Niranjan Swami has actually given talks on this topic of patience. The first paragraph of Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur's essay on patience, he says that those who are not patient cannot do any work. Now, that by work, he means internal work. I mean, you may not have patience. You may get stuck in traffic going to work. You know, might get very agitated, but it doesn't mean you still can't go to work. But so when he says that those who lack the quality of dharya, patience, cannot do any work, he means internal work. And then he says that those who have the quality of dharyat, or patience, are called dhira, or sober. And then he quotes the first verse of the Upadeshamrita, Vacho Vegam Manasakrota Vegam Jiva Vegam Udarapasta Vegam. That one, so one who can control these six urges, or one who can tolerate these six urges, he is dhira, sober, and possesses the quality of dhairyat. So then Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur enters a discussion of those six urges. And one of those urges, the first one, is vacho-vegam, the urge to speak. And so if we don't control the urge to speak or tolerate the urge to speak, we can become involved in one of those six items that spoils our devotional service, namely prajalpa. And so there's another essay about prajalpa. And in the essay on prajalpa, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes different categories of prajalpa. But one category seems especially relevant to us as devotees, and that is the category of speaking about others. And there's an elaborate discussion of speaking about others, speaking negatively about others. And so if we can, and Prabhupada also, even there's that verse, Atasya Krishna Nama Dina Bhavet Gramin Indraye, Sevan Mukihi Jivado, Swayam Eva Sparatyada. That our devotional service begins with the tongue. So if we can control the urge to speak, or tolerate the urge to speak, vacho-vegam, that will enable us to control the other urges or tolerate the other urges. And again, within that category of uncontrolled speech, or prajalpa, prajalpa means any talk that is not Krishna conscious. You know, any talk that's not about Krishna or his devotees, you know, favorably, that's prajalpa. So if we can tolerate the urge to speak about others in a negative way, then that, you know, that will help us achieve patience, and that will help us achieve complete success. And yeah. Now, I mean, it is a really elaborate discussion, and very worthwhile. But at the end, like, at one place, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that if one does have to speak about others, it's better to remain silent. In other words, like, no compromise. But then at the very end, he does explain situations in which it is allowed to speak about others. And he mentions specifically, if one is a guru, he may have to speak about others so that his disciples get the proper understanding. Because sometimes just giving the positive principle an example may not be sufficient for the students to understand properly. So he may have to give like a negative example, that if you don't do what you're supposed to do, this is the result. Like in a way, Ravana is a negative example. That if you know, so the guru can do that. And he even says that one can discuss the improper behavior current in a religious organization and can even talk about an individual in the organization. But because like when you hear that, you say, oh, I knew there was a loophole. Now I got the loophole. Now I'm free. I can just talk about anyone in this organization, even by name, and it's not a fault. But at the conclusion of that, Bhaktivinoda Thakur lays down a condition for speaking about others. And that is, what he says is that if one is influenced by devotional impediments such as envy, pride, hatred, or distinction, while speaking about others, he becomes an offender at the feet of Bhakti Devi. So now this is a very important point. This is a very important point. We may see something that we think is a fault, but before we just talk about it, we should look within ourselves and consider, is it possible that I'm being influenced by pride or envy or distinction or hatred? And, you know, be introspective. And then if we're not sure, then we should consult some, you know, trusted friend or senior and say, you know, I'm seeing this fault in this devotee, but is it really like I'm seeing it, or is it me that because I'm being influenced by pride or envy or distinction that I'm seeing something that's not there, or making something big of something that's actually quite small? And so that type of confidential relationship is necessary. And of course, that's also mentioned in the Upadeshamrita, Dadati Pratigrinati Guyam Akyati Prichati Pumte Bojayate Chab Sadvi Bhakti Sadvi Priti Lakshanam. So we need to have a culture where we can inquire confidentially. And that culture can exist when there's not prajalpa, when there's not talking about others. Because otherwise, if there's no confidentiality, you won't be able to open your heart to another person because you're afraid, I might share my doubt with someone, and the next thing I know, it's going around the community and it's going to come back to me.
And so that creates a very unhealthy situation, because we need those confidential relationships. But if we can't control the urge to speak, then we won't be able to have those, because we'll be afraid, you know. I tell him something in confidence, then he tells B, B tells C, C tells D, and eventually it gets back to the person. Yes, Gopi Gita.
Thank you. I had a question about the position of Lord Ramachandra in Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya, because at least in America, the temples in ISKCON in America, Srila Prabhupada established Lord Jagannath and Radha Krishna and Sri Gaurinitai as the primary deities. But then when you go to India, or my experience is that a lot of Vedic culture, the first thing they think of is Lord Ramachandra and all his story and his pastime. And so there's the description of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Murari Gupta, and how he was teasing Murari Gupta and asking him to become attracted to Lord Krishna's sweetness, but then Murari Gupta was feeling very despondent, and how he was attached to Sri Ramachandra. And so when we chant the Hare Krishna mantra for Hari Rama, like, we were taught to think of Lord Nityananda or Lord Balaram. When we say Rama, not so much Sri Ramachandra. And I just wanted to know, what is the Gaudiya Siddhanta, and where does Sri Ramachandra, what is his position for Gaudiya Vaishnavas, for devotees, as far as like gradation and how to serve him? And if you can speak a little about that.
Well, of course, Krishna is the origin. Krishna is to Bhagavan Swayam, and he is the full manifestation of Godhead. And all of the qualities of Lord Ramachandra are included within Sri Krishna. And so that we really have no need to worship Lord Ramachandra, because we can get everything in the worship of Lord Krishna. In fact, one Ram Navami in Juhu, when we just had the small temple, there was a Gujarati devotee who made an announcement after Prabhupada's morning Bhagavatam class that in the evening there would be, you know, Ram Dun. And then Srila Prabhupada spoke that, it was very strong, but basically he was saying that we don't need to worship Lord Ram separately. He's included in Krishna. And he's like so bold, he said, you know, we understand Ram as well as anyone. You know, we appreciate Ram as much as anyone, but still there's no need to worship him apart from Krishna. Now, in the case of Murari Gupta, because, you know, Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema, every soul has an eternal relationship with Krishna or some form of Krishna. And so Murari Gupta had that eternal love for Lord Ramachandra, and that could not be changed. But still, and he saw Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as Lord Ramachandra. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told him that, you know, if
if you see me as Lord Ramachandra, that's fine. And if you want to associate with my devotees, that's also fine. But externally, you should behave the way they behave. And you keep your devotion for Lord Ramachandra inside of you. So one could be a devotee of Lord Ramachandra and still be in the movement of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu if one has that desire, like Murari Gupta did. He saw Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as Lord Ramachandra. Generally, the association is conducive to devotion to Krishna, Radha and Krishna. So, but still, if someone wants to stay in the movement and be a devotee of Ram, they can if they follow the conditions that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave to Murari Gupta. As far as the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, most of our acharyas have explained the Maha Mantra in terms of Radha and Krishna, and the Rama is also Krishna, like Radha Raman. So, but it's not wrong to consider the Rama to be Balaram. Then that mantra is like, it's like Krishna Balaram. It's like a So yes, and philosophically it could apply to any of them. But generally in our line, in that mood of worshipping Radha and Krishna, we take the Maha Mantra as all the names to be either Radha or Krishna. But I mean, it's unlimited. It's not that there's one thing that's right and one thing that's wrong. It's all good. Yes, Chaitanya Chandra Prabhu.
Somebody was asking Shripada a similar question about the names of Ramachandra, where is Ramachandra? And Prabhupada said, yes, it is also Ramachandra. He said that they're all Vishnu Chakra and it's all absolute. So he was making that point that we are here trying to get purified and that we shouldn't distinguish and make so many distinctions between, you know, the higher level of understanding that the Lord is on the Vishnu Chakra platform. It sounded like that to me. And one time Abhiram, who is Prabhupada's servant there in Vrindavan, he asked Prabhupada about his name. Srila Prabhupada, because he couldn't, his Prabhupada called him Abhiram or Abhiram. So he was asking Srila Prabhupada, which is it, Srila Prabhupada, Abhiram or Abhiram?
Wait, what's, I'm not catching the subtle difference.
Abhi, or the B or V.
Oh, Abhi or Avi.
Yeah, that's okay. What Abhiram and that's what
okay.
People were saying.
Okay.
And Prabhupada said, either one.
Yeah.
And he said, because it means one who always chants the name of Ram. And he said, we must always chant the name of the word Ram. Because it is so simple in this material world that we must become purified and protected from the sins of this world by chanting the name of Ram, as basically Abhiram described it. One of the reasons why I'm saying it is we also like to sing Sita Ram on and on, and so is that wrong?
Well, I would say that it's not wrong. But Prabhupada did say different things on different occasions, and But I think I guess it depends on your mood or your taste. It's certainly not required, but it's I wouldn't say it's forbidden either.
We also on the stream in Chaturdasi, we always want to sing prayers of Lord Srinivasa. It seems like, you know, sometimes we've had festivals where sometimes the devotees didn't sing that. To me, when I was disturbed by it personally, because I thought, well, we should sing the prayers of Lord Srinivasa and meditate on Lord Srinivasa. Sri Prabhupada gave us these prayers to Lord Srinivasa, of course. So I was just wondering if that's also a proper mentality or not.
Well, that's you pointed out quite a, I would say, significant distinction, that Prabhupada gave us those prayers. Not only did he give us those prayers, but he included them in the morning program every day to sing the Nrisimha prayers. So I think, we should do that. I mean, Prabhupada gave us those prayers, and we should do that. But he didn't give us those Ram ones, and so it's a little different. But yes, Dharma Prabhu.
To follow up on the last thing you said to Rasa Prabhu about your response to him in revealing our hearts and confidence to other devotees and finding the devotees so we can trust how important that is and for a community to have that. Did you find that as you were a young devotee and the same concept was there, and did you find that the devotees, as they matured, that this became something that was possible, that was more common? Like, does the maturation of devotees begin to limit the prajalpa or the discussion of problems that devotees are having? As the movement progressed, as devotees became more advanced, did you find there was more devotees that you felt you could take shelter of or take a chance in discussing things with them? Or was it a situation where over the years you just realized there's just so few? Who, you know, it seems like that's a problem that our movement might have, that you want to be able to trust, but then we've seen situations where devotees have entrusted things to other devotees, and then it's not, you know, it's just, and then it's repeated, and it's not kept confidential. How do we improve that? How does that get better?
Well, that's a major problem, that we see people have said things in confidence and then the things come out and eventually get back to the person you were talking about and get back to you. And then you feel very wary. Who can I open up to? How do I know if they won't do the same thing? So I think that, like any element of devotional service, we have to talk about it. Like, for many years, we didn't really talk about japa. We knew we had to chant our 16 rounds, but I remember when we had the very first japa retreat, it was in Ojai, California. It was just Prabhupada disciples. And Mother Malati mentioned that, like, for so long no one would even, like, she asked her about her japa, or she wouldn't ask others about their japa. So that was like a... Now it's like everyone talks about japa. It's like we hear, you know, you have to chant with attention. It's like we've heard it a million times. So it's sort of like what you want to develop, you talk about it. You know, say Vaisheshika Prabhu, I mean, he's very well balanced, but say he wants to push book distribution, he talks about it. Bhakti Raghava Swami wants to push Varnashram Dharma, he talks about it. So now if we want to develop a culture in our community that's favorable for Vaishnava relationships and spiritual advancement in general, we have to talk about it. You know? And it's a fairly big community. So there's a few people in the room listening to this. And then there may be more on the internet or the radio listening to it. And then there may be others who aren't listening to it. They may not have even heard it. You know, they might have read about Prajalpa, but it hasn't really sunk in. And so they have the habit. So, you know, as devotees, we should, preachers, devotees, we should help others who may not be aware of how bad it is to engage in prajalpa, especially to betray confidence. And so we have to try to sort of enlighten them. And it's very possible that someone will come to you, you means any one of us, come to you and want to talk about someone else. And how you respond will have a lot to do with how the other person proceeds. Like if he says, you know, so and so, such and such, and you say, do I really need to hear this? I don't think I can do anything to help that person. Do I really need to hear this? And then he might think, well, yeah, actually, you don't. He might think, do I really need to say this to this person? Actually, I don't. So, I think we should try, you know, to respond in such a way that we don't encourage others to speak about other devotees. You know, if the person comes to you and says, you know, so and so, such and such, and then you go, really? And then they like encourage him, you know, it's reciprocal, you know. If you say, do I really need to hear this? You know, that it'll have a different effect. Yeah. Hare Krishna. All right, well, thank you very much. So I guess we'll be meeting again in the evening for the Abhishek and talk and kirtan. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Srila Gurudev Swami Maharaj.